Good evening, Outposters. We are live. We are here. We are together. We're doing our thing. Get rid of this because I'm not listening to anything right now. Welcome to Outpost Frequencies. Today, we're going to go over the usual news. I'm sorry I wasn't here last week, but, I went to Florida. And I am going to tell you that I am going to Florida again. I'm going to take my son, and we're going to do a trip to Disney Hollywood Studios. And so I'm going to put together a little film on that, take you on a tour, and tell you what I think of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. From what I've seen, not that much. But we'll see how it goes. So welcome. Welcome to be a part of this. Glad you're here. And we will go over the news of the week. So let's take a look at what's going on here. One thing we're going to talk about, I guess I better do some housekeeping. One, come over to www.lastmovieoutpost.com to get the latest in movie news, streaming, and even comic book news. We've got some pretty good articles on the best comic book artists and writers of the various eras in DC, Batman, and X-Men, so on and so forth. So please come in and read those. And secondly, we've got our streamings that we're trying to do and our podcasts that we'll do weekly. So come on down. We've got news every day, and we're always looking for people who want to join in on the fun. So please be a part of it. If you've got some YouTube show or you want to join in on these podcasts, we're more than happy to have you. So that being said, let's move on to the news of the week. One, Frank Marshall provides an update for Indiana Jones and the Sinking Ship. So I'm less concerned about this being bad. I think that it will be okay because I'm really like James Mangold. I think Mangold is pretty good, and I certainly like what he did with Logan. I'm a little hard-pressed to identify some of his other movies right now, but overall, I think he might be able to put a different spin on Indiana Jones that Spielberg is unwilling or unable to put on Indiana Jones now. And I think that if you watch Red Letter Media's review of Crystal Skull, I think the biggest problem was the lack of bite and the lack of teeth. Sure, it had a lot of odd moments and things, but really the lack of teeth was a big problem for that movie. So if you're watching that and you want to see what Indiana Jones can be like, I'm actually looking forward to this. Mangold said, "I think the most important thing in an age when franchise has become a commodity that's serving the same thing again, at least for me, in the dances I've had with franchises, serving the same thing again the same way usually just produces a longing for the first time you ate it. Meaning it makes an audience wish they had just had the first one over again. So you have to push something to someplace new while also remembering the core reasons why everyone was gathered. And to use Logan as an example of that, when you're dealing in a world of a very pressured franchise." Frank Marshall, longtime Indiana Jones producer, praised Mangold as a perfect fit to tackle the archaeologist's next adventure. His love of franchise, he's a wonderful filmmaker, and he also has a relationship with Harrison. It was all the right pieces coming along all at the right time. Steven staying on as producer, so we got the best of everything. So that's nice that Spielberg is staying on as producer, but I'm also kind of concerned that he's going to overshadow, and Mangold's going to say, whatever you say, Steve, this is your baby. It's going to be a little less apt to really stretch himself creatively. So to me, that's a bit of a concern. The number one thing, obviously, is the safety of everybody, the cast, the crew, all of us. So we're looking at guidelines that are coming slowly from health experts and studios in different parts of the business. And we're trying to incorporate everything so we can move forward and be safe. It's obviously going to slow things down, so we're trying to adjust. He's talking about, of course, the pandemic. I find it kind of hilarious giving the dangerous stunts that are going to go on that movie that, you know, somebody might get the sniffles. But, you know, hey, I get it. It's the pandemic. It's the beer virus. We got to be careful. So it's had its release date pushed back a number of times already, having been originally slated to hit screens actually last summer. I've been hearing about this for almost over a decade now, that there was going to be another one. If I had to put on my wish list, I want Harrison to be talking about this in flashback. Maybe he has a little coda, a nice little thing at the end or something, but that they actually recast Indiana Jones. Chris Pratt is kind of the obvious one, but I'm sure there's others that might do a good job. Chris Evans might be all right with this. And I have to think, I don't know who else you would cast as Indiana Jones right off the top of my head. I mean, Christian Bale, I don't know, he's a little too somber, but he might be able to do it. There's a lot of different actors. If you put down in the comments below, see who do you think would be a good Indiana Jones. So we'll see how it goes. That's a nice picture of Chris in the hat. I think he would fit the part okay. He'd have to cut back on a little bit of the goofiness, so we'll have to see. Let's see here. I am going to go real quick to the let you guys know that I am online. Because even though I let you know, and even though I schedule it and I try to tell everybody, it's still kind of a pain to get you guys on board. I have to remind you, because you don't care. You don't care about me. You don't care about any of this stuff. So fine. I'll just do all the heavy lifting myself. Because you know what really gets in the audience? Whining and begging. I find that really works. There you go. We are live. All right. So, let's take a look. We've got Darkseid is confirmed in the Snyder Cut. And we're going to go through a lot of that today. It's all go in the world of poorly received superhero sequels. While the DCEU continues to flail with its interconnected universe that isn't really connected, except when it is, fans just keep demanding the Snyder Cut of the Justice League see the light of day. So we're getting our wish. As we know, the movie's coming to HBO Max. And Ray Porter, the actor who plays Darkseid in this version, has revealed himself. He announced on his Twitter feed that he's still the main bad guy. So Darkseid was always planned to be the main villain in Snyder's take on things, but the character was removed entirely from the theatrical version of the movie that was extensively reshot and recut by Joss Whedon when family tragedy meant Snyder had to pull out of the directing. So there's a lot of back and forth on whether or not Snyder's family tragedy, I mean, certainly it was a factor, but I think that there was more to it that he got removed from the project. So, yeah, we'll see. Darkseid's Lieutenant Steppenwolf was instead promoted to the main villain with only hints of Darkseid's presence remaining. Snyder previously had been talking about his version of the story, and there's pretty heavy potential spoilers for his upcoming HBO Max release. The main trigger for the narrative flow was that Darkseid killed Lois Lane, and this set up Superman's arc, including the nightmare sequence we saw during Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice. The truth is, the nightmare sequence in this movie, it was my idea that it would all eventually be explained. Is that a surprise? That we would end up in a distant future where Darkseid had taken over the Earth and Superman had succumbed to the anti-life equation. And there were a few members of the Justice League that survived to that world and that they were fighting. Batman and a broken half of the Cyborg. There's only half of them because whatever happened, they were working on an equation to jump back to tell Bruce. And those are the things we were dealing with. In the studio, they were still sort of into the big look, but the deep death of how and why everyone was mad at each other. We saw the groundwork for Batman v Superman when Barry Allen travels back in time to warn Bruce Wayne and do whatever he can to protect Lois Lane when Bruce dismisses it as a dream or hallucination. Barry had arrived too early. It's bizarre. With Lois Lane dead, Superman succumbs as unwitting agent for Darkseid. It's in the Justice League teaser, but it wasn't in the movie. It's this line where Bruce says, "I was right here, and Barry Allen came to me and he said, Lois is the key." And Wonder Woman responds that Lois is the key to Superman and every heart has a key. Bruce responds with, "I think it's something more, something darker. What it means is that the thing that was darker was all about if Lois died, Superman would succumb to anti-life, right? And Superman knows that somehow it was Bruce's responsibility to protect Lois. He would have been mad at him in this movie, and that's why he says, she was my world and you took her from me." So, okay, fine. The Snyder Cut of Justice League is coming. It's actually happening. It's going to be on HBO Max. And we're going to see what this really means. Now, according to some of the news that I'm seeing out there, the Snyder Cut is more of a it's more of like the Snyder footage. Certainly, we're going to get a lot more stuff in there. Most of the Justice League was so cut up, and a lot of the stuff that was in the trailers never even made it to the movie. So it's a little bizarre how it went the way it did. Big gulp. Because I got my vase, I got my rum. So be happy about that. But the question is, is this movie going to be good? And I am less than enthusiastic about all this. So if we go back to Man of Steel, and we look at how that movie progressed and what was he trying to say and what did we end up with? I have recently watched both Man of Steel and Batman v Superman in preparation for this. I haven't watched Justice League yet, although I'm going to give it another go just to see how it looks. But all of those three are kind of the Zack Snyder. They're the core of the DCEU. And so it's easy to pick apart the Martha stuff and some of the other things that we see in it. But I think that the Zack Snyder trilogy has the same problem as the prequels, where you have some good premises, some good ideas that are very poorly executed. And there's enough of these weird moments that you just kind of end up shaking your head, and it's hard to work. I mean, part of it is our fault, and I'm going to be kind of hard on this, but part of it is our fault because we have a tendency to think of canon as kind of a Bible of Superman, of all these comic book heroes. So when somebody comes and tries to do something different, it's very hard for us to accept some of these ways that they wouldn't act. But then again, if you're going to make them in ways that they wouldn't act, then why bother making a Superman movie? But then there's the other side. It's like, if you're going to do what everybody's already done before, what are you bringing to the table? So I get the tightrope that these guys are walking, saying, hey, how are we supposed to make a Superman movie that's better than or different than what we had before? So Marvel knew how to do it right by staying true to the characters, but coming up with a story, it was based on stuff that still felt like its own thing. These didn't. These felt like they were trying to shoehorn in big moments of different stories, especially The Dark Knight, but not really coming up with anything that was lasting, that you had an emotional attachment to. And that's really the biggest problem with these movies, is that they're so dour and you can't relate or connect with any of the characters. And if you don't have any emotional attachment to these movies, because I mean, what the hell are you watching these stories for? You want to feel something. And I'm going through Man of Steel and I'm feeling nothing. I'm feeling bored most of the time. So I watch it again. And I think that the beginning of the movie is not bad. I think the premises are not bad. First of all, I like that Zod is more than just a megalomaniacal evil guy. As fun as Terrence Stamp was in the original Superman movies, there's not much to him. He wants to rule and he wants everybody to kneel before him. And that's pretty much the extent of his ambition. The Zod in this one is a much more sympathetic character in that his entire planet is gone. Krypton was a planned society in terms of genetics, and his genetic makeup pretty much pushes him to do whatever he can to rebuild Krypton, even if that means destroying Earth. It's a fairly easy to understand motivation. But once Superman, however, is such a... He never reveals himself as a protector of Earth to begin with. So Earth has no... He has to fight both getting the trust of the Earth, of Earth, of humans, and to fight this people who... A lot of people just thought, hey, he's the guy that brought him to us in the first place, which he did by finding that ship. So the stuff makes somewhat sense, but it's really joyless. And then when it gets to the end, where it just falls apart. At this point, I don't care enough. They haven't drawn me in enough to care about Superman and Lois other than the archetypes and the characters that we know them as anyway. So why am I watching this? Why do I care? And then it's just mindless destruction. Just destruction after destruction that's so over the top and so violent and so crazy that you're kind of like, okay, I just have a headache. Now, I get the premise he was going for because he took that into Batman v. Superman. And in Batman v. Superman, he wanted to do something that there were consequences for the big battle of Metropolis with General Zod. And that I kind of like. He's kind of like going, okay, what we're going to do is... We are going to, Affleck looked at an Indian in the suit. Aldo doesn't like it. The warehouse is the exception. It's all been made in a computer. It will be crap. Probably. But I'm trying to be fair about this whole thing here. So what they're trying to do is say, okay, so we got this guy Superman, but not everybody's on board. Yes, he saved the planet, but he's also a bit of a, he does what he wants, and he's not really beholden to the law as much as he should be. And he made that plain at the end of Man of Steel. So Batman, understandably, after the flashback to Man of Steel, where he's watching Wayne Tower and Metropolis just get destroyed, he watches all the death and destruction. I think he's pretty well. I think it makes a lot of sense that he is a little suspicious of Superman. But the problem with that is that Superman, it's hard to connect with him. And I, you know, Cavill looks the part, but he doesn't really act the part. And I don't blame him because he's capable of it, but he just doesn't. He's just so dour, and at some point he's rescuing people, and he looks like he'd rather be anywhere else than what he's doing. He talks about how he loves the planet, but he looks like he's just irritated at doing any of this. Christopher Reeve felt joy at saving people. You don't see that. You see it as a huge burden for him. And then, of course, there's Lex Luthor, and you go, just a horrible miscast and a horrible choice by Jesse Eisenberg to play it like Max, God, I'm completely blanking. I'm sure someone in the chat may be able to tell me. But it's really a bad idea. You can't be doing these the way they're showing it and go, okay, well, we'll make Luthor a crazy weirdo when if he's such a crazy weirdo and he's got such weird emotional problems and he can't even get through a quick speech, he feels like he's out of control. So I don't feel like he would be able to put together this whole massive plan, which made very little sense as you go on. Again, the idea is good. The premise, the overall premise isn't bad. Superman had saved the Earth in this, but people are scared of him. People are scared of his powers, and he hasn't really proved himself yet to the people of Earth that he is really on their side, or could he turn? And Batman is of course, very suspicious of him. That's not a bad idea. But then it turns out they're just getting all manipulated by Luthor, and he has this really crazy plan where he frames Superman by a bunch of people getting shot in the desert because he went to save Lois. And I guess in the extended edition, they flamethrowered the bodies, but clearly the bodies have been shot. You say, well, it's a third world hellhole. Okay, it's a third world hellhole, but how did this woman be able to end up in Congress to testify about this third world hellhole? She seemed to get in and out okay. So there must have been the ability for us to come in and the CIA or somebody and examine these bodies. They would have found the bullets. But no, it's Superman. That's what he does. I guess he shoots people now. And that was really clunky. And then when Lois finds out that it's all bull, and the senator, Holly Hunter, finds out it's all bull, then they blow up, Lex blows up the entire Senate and everybody in it. But except for Superman, well, I mean, Superman's in the Senate, but he doesn't get hurt. And then everybody blames Superman for the bomb because he wasn't able to save them in there. Like all the things that he frames Superman for doing are things that Superman wouldn't need to do. And it's also he could get this giant monster, this doomsday monster, to kill Superman. But if he does that, If he's successful, how are they going to stop that thing? Because it would have destroyed the entire planet. I mean, nothing feels thought ahead, which I think is what happened with the writers. They just didn't think very far ahead for what they were doing. So, okay. And then again, just like in Man of Steel, it just completely just turns into an action headache at the end where we shove in the Justice League in videos that Batman sees, and we shove in Wonder Woman. And so it fails. It barely makes, and I, you know, you say, wow, $300 million, that's a failure or whatever it made. I know it made about $300 million, but it should have made six. I mean, yeah, Batman and Superman together on the screen, it should have made six. And it failed completely. So Warner Brothers get scared, and they end up This just makes me want to drink more and more. So Warner Brothers get scared, and they end up making getting Joss Whedon. And I think they used the tragedy that Zach was going through as an opportunity to dump him and to get Joss Whedon and go straight ahead with Justice League and try to make it into some sort of pseudo Avengers, where everything that had been built up in these two movies just got totally tossed away. Now, here's the problem. Yes, Justice League is bad. Justice League is just too simplistic. There's like 100 things in there that don't make sense. And it's clearly just cobbled together by Whedon to try to make something that hopefully people would like. But are you really, after looking at these first two and watching these sheep just sit there and go, oh God, the Zack Snyder cut is coming out. It's going to be amazing. It's going to answer all our prayers. It's like, did you not see the first two? Do you really like those first two? They're really bad. And you're going to have the same kind of bad. Yeah, there'll be threads that he'll deal with and everything. And we've talked about it a bit. But I don't see where this is going to be any better than what they had before. Why would it be? Why do you think that this is going to be amazing? It'll be a curiosity. And I will watch it because I'm just very curious to see what he will come up with. And they're spending $20 million to make this thing happen. I find the whole thing interesting as far as, one, that fans can gripe enough to get something that they're going to gripe about once it comes out. They're going to say it sucks. I know some people are saying that the Batman v Superman Snyder cut is better. That's true, but it isn't good. It isn't good in any way, shape, or form. It just fills in some blanks. But at the end, you still have the whole thing hinges on that Batman and Superman's mothers have the same name. And that's ridiculous. That's just ridiculous. So, I mean, here's moments. I mean, if you're looking at this thing right here above my head, you can see there's tons of moments in here that just, they never made it to the movie. And I don't know. I mean, it's bizarre. I don't know what they were thinking. The color grading is different. I mean, it was pink when we finally got to the movie, and they're showing this color grading is completely different. So, are we talking that kind of change? Cyborg. There was. Okay, he's in it, and he was just a block of wood. I don't know to blame the actors. I don't know to blame even Zack Snyder. I mean, he didn't write the thing. I mean, he does have a lot of creative input, so I guess we need to blame him on a lot of it. Surely he does do a fairly decent job of putting together action scenes and some pretty good looking scenes. I'll give him that. But I look at him and I say, okay, you want to put him in charge of something like a 300 where you have a set script and he wants to put his visual flair on it. I think he does a pretty good job. I never was as big a fan of Dawn of the Dead as some people were. I thought it was fine. I never thought it was that big a deal. I think he was wrong for Watchmen because Watchmen looks way too cool. And that is really missing the point. I don't like these suits. I hate that Flash suit. I a lot of people love the Flash suit. I cannot for the life of me figure out why. Make it all janky and weird like that. It's the whole idea is that it was a one piece suit that was very aerodynamic. And yeah, it did a good job of you know, dealing with heat and all that kind of stuff as well as he ran. But why do you make it? I guess it's, you know, because it looks more realistic or cinematic, but I don't feel like it does. I don't feel like it looks any better. So those are the three that we have to deal with. Now you look at the rest of the DCEU, which is just, it's all over the place. Like, there are different genres within the Marvel universe, but there's still kind of a certain tone to them all that seems to fit, even as different as you go from, say, a Winter Soldier to a Thor Ragnarok. There still is a tone that it manages to stay within shouting distance of, so you don't feel like you're in this a completely different world every time, as different as it gets. But these are just, the Zack Snyder ones are so dour and so depressing. And then you watch Aquaman, which is batshit insane. And my biggest complaint with that is that it's a completely predictable movie. Like every moment in it is just so badly telegraphed. The mother's going to end up with the sailor, the lighthouse guy at the end. You watch. I call that at the beginning of the movie. Sure enough, it was the last scene in the movie. When the guy comes up, like he's a big tough guy, and talk to Aquaman, I was like, he's going to ask for his autograph or say he's cool or something. He asked for a selfie. I mean, it was, you know, these moments weren't, they were so easy to see. That being said, I mean, they basically made a reasonably okay movie that had some fun visuals in it. I just didn't find it very compelling or anything to go back to. But it wasn't bizarrely weird like Zack Snyder's was, or dour. At least it had some joy in it. The Wonder Woman movie, I think, was three quarters of a good movie, and it suffered from the Captain America, which was like, oh, we got to fight a big CGI fight now. I just found the fight at the end very boring. But as far as take her back to World War One, I thought that was interesting. And I think that her, you know, the whole thing with the origin story worked well. The fish out of water stuff worked well. It did really, really well until, it's just a big CGI fight. What else? We got Wonder Woman. Oh, the Suicide Squad and the Harley Quinn movies, both bad. Both terrible. I was actually a lot kinder to Birds of Prey the first time I saw it. And having thought about it, watched it again, I there's maybe two or three things I really liked, and I know I have a unhealthy attraction to Margot Robbie, which may have colored my view a little bit, but it's not good. And then finally you got the Shazam movie, which I quite frankly think is the best of the bunch. I really do. I think the Shazam movie works on all levels. It does have a big fight at the end, but it's done well, and it's not ridiculous. And Zach Levy is just really charming in it, and he plays, you know, a kid in a grown-up's body really well. And then having all the kids turn into Shazams was a lot of fun. And it had a lot more joy and fun in it than any of the other DCEU movies. I think they're making a sequel of that. I don't know, but I hope that they do. But it was a lot. It wasn't like trying to do, like, say, I mean, yeah, it was save the world, I guess, to a little bit, but it felt like a smaller story. And it felt like they had the whole family thing going on. And maybe I have a soft spot for stories about adopted kids and that kind of thing. Cause I adopted mine. So I'll cop to that. But I've always liked Shazam from a very early age, and I thought they did a great job with it. So I had a lot of fun with it. And, I think it was a great movie. So I think it's too little too late. Now, I've heard they want to reboot the universe and maybe recast some people. Certainly they can recast Ezra Miller. He's terrible as Flash, in my opinion. And I don't know how Pattinson fits into this. Is he a part of the DCEU? Is it a prequel? Is it a whole different thing? Is it in the Joker universe? I just don't understand why Warner Brothers can't get their act together on this. I don't know how Marvel was able to do it so well, considering how many of their properties are owned by other studios, or at least were. Now it's pretty much between Sony and Marvel, because Marvel, I would assume, has back X-Men and Fantastic Four and whoever else. Hulk is still kind of with Universal. They can use him all they want as long as he's part of an ensemble or in somebody else's movie, but they can't use him in his own movie, which is weird. And then you've got Sony with all the Spider-Verse stuff, which I guess is also going to be part of the MCU, but not because of the Spider... I don't know. It's all confusing. I don't know. I don't understand any of it. Warner Brothers has always owned every DCU character. There's no good reason they couldn't have made this right, and they completely screwed the pooch on it, and it's bizarre. It's bizarre to me that they couldn't make this work. So, let's see. It says I don't have any viewers, but I see people chatting, so I'm guessing that YouTube is telling me bad things. But I'm going to look at you guys' chats here, see what we got going on. Disagree on some points, but the Flash suit is terrible, says Kurt J52. Yep, I agree. I don't like that Flash suit at all. I'm completely mystified with how so many people were saying, look how awesome the Flash, look how good it looks. I'm like, where are we looking at the same suit? It's... I mean, it looks like it was cobbled together, which I guess it was cobbled together by a young guy in his early 20s, but living on the streets. But it's still, that doesn't mean it looks good. Dour and depressing. Yeah, it was. That's the problem. It's very depressing. Maybe because they were trying to make Superman into Batman, and they want all this gritty because the Nolan movies did so well, and so everybody was saying, well, grit and gritty is where it's at. No, Batman is good grit and gritty. Superman is good because he's not. And it's the contrast between the two and their friendship because of that, because of their completely different views and outlooks on humanity that made that dynamic so much fun. And I know a lot of people don't like Superman because they say he's too powerful, but he's actually my favorite, and the reason why I like him so much is because when they do stories, and I think the first Superman did this perfectly, was the idea is that, I'm so powerful, but there's things I can't fix, like his dad dying from a heart attack. No matter how much power I have, there's things I can't do. I can't be everywhere. I can't fix everything. And when they try to zero in on that, and when they do things that put him in a situation where he can't fix it, that will be the one thing I liked about Batman v Superman was Lex kidnapping his mother and hiding her and then getting him to do what he wanted. It's like he's got all this power, he's got all this stuff, and he can do nothing because otherwise his mom is dead. Manipulating him and his power against him is always interesting to me. So I'm hoping that maybe but they also need to bring some of the joy. He was a joyful character, and they don't seem to understand that. Man of Steel was all right. Nolan bailed out as a producer. I honestly, my problem with Man of Steel is because Superman isn't Superman. It's just an alien being that has a lot of power. And there's a couple of scenes in there. One is when he destroys the trucker's livelihood because the trucker poured beer on his head. I'm like, Yeah, Superman at least knew the punishment had to fit the crime. He had to use restraint because of his power. So to destroy a guy's livelihood like that, I know it's done as a cheap gag, but I couldn't stand it. That's the problem. If you're going to have this dour, gritty thing and you're going to take everything so seriously, you can't have a cheap gag. You can't just go, oh, I'm going to do whatever we want and we're going to have these funny little gags. What's your tone? What is it? It's all over the place. I don't get it. So it really bothered me. There's another one where Zod throws a tanker or maybe a pair of tanker trucks at him filled with gasoline or whatever, explodes, destroys a parking lot, everything collapses, and all Superman does is jump over it. He doesn't even try to stop it. I'm like going, are you trying to save the planet or what? And I remember when I saw it in the theater, when it got to the point where he was fighting the tentacle monster that was on the other side of the planet that was working with the thing in Metropolis, I was nearly falling asleep. I was so bored. I didn't feel like the Superman was doing, he just wasn't acting like anybody I cared about. Totally C-52. What is C-52? I'm not sure what that is. Although if you type that up, the fight at the end of Guardians 2 was boring also. Same with Iron Man 2. I disagree with Guardians 2. I think that they did a great job with that. It had some funny moments. And I think that what James Gunn did was the whole father thing and working that through. And also concentrating on Rocket's character arc about caring about more than himself and scared to care about anything itself. I think Guardians 2 is actually better than the first Guardians. The first Guardians, where they're fighting Ronan, which is such a one-note villain, I think that's much more boring than fighting his father and the things that were going on in there. I totally disagree. The Flash is an irritant and have to be. If you get them done right. You know, where they have done it right, I went through recently the DC. I have the DC Universe online. And one of the things that they did do right was the DC, I guess they call it the DC Movie Universe. And there's a set of movies. There's about 8 or 9 of them, maybe 10, that all have the same actors for the most part. And it starts with the Flashpoint Paradox. And it goes all the way to Justice League Dark Apocalypse. And that was a really good, well done movie universe. I still don't think it's as good as the DC Animated Universe, which is also excellent as far as building a universe and tying it all together. But as far as doing some of these things that they wanted to do and having some consequences and changing things and retelling the death of Superman and the return of Superman and bringing out these new characters. I have a problem a little bit with Justice League Dark because it kind of resets the whole thing, but it's way better than anything they've done in the DCEU. Way better. So you got to give it a try. Jeremy Irons knocks it out of the park for Cash. Jeremy Irons is always good. Everything even Dungeons and Dragons, he's the only thing worth watching in that. I love the guy. I loved him in Die Hard with a Vengeance. He brings it even in crap. I mean, did you ever see Aragorn? That thing is terrible, but he brought it, man. He brought it in that movie. He Obi-Wan the fuck out of that movie. So, Ezra got his slimy foot in the door and his sequel is a go. So they making a Flash movie? I've heard things back and forth. I would be surprised if that doesn't go after his whole choking a woman thing got out. I don't know. Cancel culture seems very picky on who it decides to cancel, so who knows. True C-52, a total dirt bird. What is a C-52? You gotta. C-52 is that other fellow, Kurt 52. Yeah, Kurt. Okay. I'm obviously not in on all the stories back here, and I apologize for that. I was new to the shit posting thread, so you gotta understand that I don't know all the history and stories and backgrounds. Jeremy owns a castle in Cork, Ireland. Good for him. Iron Castle. I love it. He should. So awesome. So do any of you guys want to join this and tell me where I'm wrong? Because I'm always up for that. And if not, I think I've kind of talked it through. So in the end, here's my prediction that the Snyder Cut is going to come out. People are going to say that was interesting or an interesting different take on it. But in the end, nobody's going to like it. Nobody's going to think that it's a huge improvement. It's just, oh, more or it's different, but it's not going to be anything that anybody's going to give a shit about. And I think people are going to complain about it as much as they did Batman v Superman. It doesn't mean that Zack Snyder didn't get jobbed badly by Warner Brothers. It doesn't mean that Warner Brothers hasn't, I mean, they've completely screwed this thing up. But I still don't have any faith that Zack Snyder can pull this thing out and fix this entire trilogy or even the Justice League itself. I just don't buy it. I think the tone and everything in these movies is just wrong. And it's just not anything that anybody's going to want to watch. So if you agree with me, don't agree with me, whatever you guys think, I do want to, let me take a look at the board here and see if anybody is watching or not. Totally agree. It will be a reheat, but it'll be make coin in this climate. Yeah, I mean, what else? You gotta go to the theater? You know, you're not gonna go anywhere and see it. So what do you gotta do? Away he goes. But are we sure? human dog biscuits. Yikes. Yeah, nothing major going on the board. It is getting quiet. Have you guys had enough of this whole thing? Are you just tired of being stuck in, or are you finally getting out and doing things and you know, being a part of life again? I mean, here in Kansas, it really wasn't that big a deal. And it's not like I could never go to Walmart, go to stores, except for the ones, of course, that closed up completely, like the malls and theaters and things like that. But any of the stores I needed to go to, I could go anywhere. They're already saying we can come back to work if we want to. It never became a big deal. Did you guys have the same problem in your area, or was it really bad? The Steppenwolf design looks badass. I hope they redo it. Yeah, it did look pretty terrible in the original movie, but I don't know if that's just because they were doing a rush job. I don't know. It was so mismanaged, and now that I guess Warner, the higher ups at Warner, are trying to make this happen, maybe they think they can salvage something. I mean, what have they got to lose except for $20 million? And HBO is all, I don't know. I drink a bag of cans a night on the Green Finger Blastin'. I'm good for you. Good for you. So, yeah, it's a slow night. I tried to give you guys a little bit of notice, but mostly We'll get this up on the podcast site. So thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. It was just me tonight. It's kind of hard on a Wednesday night to get everybody together, but that's okay. We'll try to have one as soon as we can and get some more back and forth going with this. In the meantime, remember, like, share. It's over 30 million. Oh, really? Last I'd heard, it was only 20 million. That's impressive. So, okay. Good to know. So anyway, like, share, subscribe, comment down below. The usual begging. Please come to lastmovieoutpost.com. If you have a suggestion or if you want to be a part of this, email contactus@lastmovieoutpost.com. I'm at DrunkenYoda1. We also have at Movie Outpost for Twitter. And the Last Movie, Facebook has Last Movie. You know, I don't have any of it in front of me, so I have no idea. But you can certainly find this podcast. Obviously, you can watch us on our YouTube channel. Please like, share, subscribe. The more you share, the better we do. And then you can also find us on the podcasting site. Just search for Outpost Frequencies. And if you have iTunes or if you have any kind of podcast that can podcast client that can search, you'll be able to find it. Outpost Frequencies. Certainly not my best podcast today, but we just wanted to, I just wanted to talk about this and have a little bit of fun. And next time we'll get a new guest and we'll move forward from there. So thank you very much. You guys take care, and I will see you next time.